Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, a little bit vain, but I just can't help but notice a little bit. I went to the dentist, and the dentist is giving me some teeth whitener, and look, this tooth that used to sparkle all the time, they're looking almost the same. Holy smoke. That light, sometimes I'd like to reflect off that fake tooth. That one's fake. Doesn't do that so much anymore. Praise. Hey, listen, I'm excited today. We're about to win. We are about to win, my friends. I'm telling you. Don't get down. Hey, look not at things that can be seen, because the things that can be seen are temporary and subject to change. And we are in the midst of a battle. We're in the midst of a football game, a basketball game. Call it whatever you want to. If it's a basketball game, the opponents just they just went on a 10 point run. They just scored 10 straight points. Or if it's a football game, they just scored a touchdown, and then you fumbled it again. They scored another touchdown. They put 14 points on you, and there you are coaching the team. And what do you say to your team? Do you look around and say, well, that's it. It's over. God, they scored a touchdown. No. See, it's an ebb and flow. When that punch, counterpunch. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. The Lord ain't surprised. He isn't surprised at what's going on. In fact, I believe this. The Lord told us not to be ignorant of his devices. The Lord knew this was going to happen. He knew all this stuff was going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something. The scripture says that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And we are in the midst of the greatest unveiling, revealing in the history of American politics. Maybe in the history of the world. As these investigations go on, listen, you know, Donald Trump, stay with me. Donald Trump could have been elected. They could have not cheated and done all the stuff they've done. He could have been elected. And he go back in there 4 more years, and who knows? Who knows what happens in those next 4 years? And the deep state could have just laid low, just made sure, you know, 4 more years, if we'll get through this, then we'll get our candidate back in. We'll get that guy out of there, whatever. And because of what's happened, now there will be an obvious investigation into the election process. We're going to see an undressing, an unveiling, a revealing like we've never seen it, we're not even going to be able to believe it, of what has taken place. This has all been orchestrated, folks. Now, you better ask yourself this. Do you believe Mark Taylor and Coverstone? What is Coverstone? All these prophets out there. Do you believe Donald Trump is Cyrus and he's going to have 2 terms? What is that? Was that a prophetic word or not? Or is it not? Now, are you all of a sudden, because the deep state just scored a touchdown, you going to pack in your equipment? Hey, listen. I fought that a long time as a coach, to try to keep our players playing hard when things didn't look good. That's life, dudes. Play hard when things don't look good. Anybody can dance and run around and wave flags and have a good old time when you're on top. It's when you've been hit with what seems to be a deadening blow. Do you continue faithfully to get up and go to work and do what it is you're supposed to do? Does your faith not fail? The Bible says men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, but the things that are coming. So it's possible for your heart and your faith to fail. Now, are you one of those? I have to tell you, I was a little bit discouraged yesterday, but I believe that God is going to do something supernatural in our midst. And I believe what the devil meant for bad, God meant for this. That's all scripture, isn't it? What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And the things, the confluence of events that are coming and are happening right now are happening because they are being orchestrated under the unction of Almighty God. I'm telling you, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what the turmoil is going to be, but when we begin to, I did a lot of research this over the last 24 hours, so much so that my wife said just before I fell to bed last night, "Will you get off your phone?" I couldn't even get off of it last night because I was digging in. You know this well. I got some stuff to share. I want to encourage you today that now is the time for our team, ours, to up our game, up our ante. And Randy, I don't know why I said Randy, but I'm Randy because he's intimately involved with it. God sent us to Bill Barr's house for a reason. And I don't know if you folks saw it last night. I could pull it right up here right now. For the first time in American history, Bill Barr authorized the use of armed agents to the polls. Did you guys see that? Mike, click on that, Mike. Mike, it's like the fourth thing down there. Bill Barr. Remember when I told you we were there? We weren't there for what we thought we were there for. We were there for a supernatural. Hey, Kyle, right wing watching, all you guys out there, you trolls, listen, blast this all over. You tell them what Coach Dave said, because when you amen it, when the devil amens it, I know we're on top of something, right? So we went to high places, didn't we? We went to Biden's place. We went to Obama's place. Because why? Going up to the high places and tear the devil's kingdom down. We went to those high places. And when we went to those high places, then we ended up at Bill Barr's place, which is also should be a high place on our side. And we encouraged Bill Barr. And we strengthened him. I said to you, we don't know. We don't know what that guy's facing. We have no idea the decisions that are ahead of him. And we went and we gave him a little bit of spine and a little bit of courage. Hang on here, Mike. I'm trying to find it. Right there, I think it is. Click on that thing. There it is. The Department of Justice, Washington, D.C. What's it say? Scroll down a little bit, Mike. First time. DOJ approves of use of armed agents to investigate voter fraud claims. Randy, I'm telling you, we're over the target, brother. We're over the target. Now, laugh if you want to. This is, I've been saying this over and over and over and over. This will be our finest hour. This will be. This is going to be corruption revealed so deep that if we dig it out, there'll be a chance for our children and grandchildren. If we don't, it won't. Anybody watching knows, understands what happened. Everybody knows it took place. For those of you listening out there casually, we're going to go to another high place. We're going to go to another high place. If you're interested, contact me personally. Go to coach@coachdavelive.com. Say, Coach, I'm interested in going. We're going to Randy, we're fire starters, brother. That's what we are. And we have been so far out in front of it. They laughed at us when we went to Hillary's. They laugh. People are always making fun of me. Where are you going? Why are you going there? Because, listen, I get an unction. I get an unction from the Lord. And my job is just to go do what he tells me to do. Doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't always matter. Why would I go to Bill Barr's house? Why would I go to Bill Barr's? Well, here's fruit. You guys say, well, you're just puffing yourself up. No, I'm not. Hey, did you go? Did you do it? You don't see a connection between something. This happens and now this happens. I think we gave that guy some. Well, we'll see, right? We opened up what I would call a portal of strength. We tore something down. We opened something up. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Okay, so hang on. I'm rambling. Stay with me because I've been doing a lot of research. Hey, guys, girls, the whole watermark thing is real. It's real. That the official ballots, is Mark Trump in here? Maybe you can help us a little bit on this if you're in here. I know you're in here, Mark. What would a watermark encryption from a technological, informational, stamp, electron. What would that? Because from what I understand, Mark, each one of these ballots have been watermarked to the point that they now know where every group of ballots went. So in other words, a whole batch of ballots went to, let's say, precinct 12 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Well, they now find out that those ballots went to precinct 12 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Why, they ended up in precinct number 9 in Washington. And then from precinct number 9 in Milwaukee, they ended up in Chicago or whatever. They now can actually trace where every one of these ballots is. That true? Can you explain that to us?
Well, it's all possible, Coach. I mean, the watermarks are for a couple reasons. One is authentication. Two is for reproduction. So watermarks are typically not able to be seen by photocopiers unless you have a real high-end machine. But what they did there, Coach, it like you said, it could have been planned. But if you think about them doing it that way, that's so unintelligent for the Democrats to get those ballots and do this stupid work. Mm-hmm. And this shows the unintelligence of the evil side.
Yes, sir.
And you got idiots like on Right Wing Watch who suck it up because they don't have equal or better intelligence to even help their own side. That isn't what Satan's about. You know, if you think about all these movies, what happens to all the underlings for the evil overlords? They get slaughtered, Coach. Do you know what's happened? Our country's turned into a bunch of evil underlings. They're going to get slaughtered.
I believe it, Mark.
They have no intelligence. Why do men die? For lack of
knowledge.
So, hey, folks, Dave.
Hang on a second, Rods. So do we think Trump didn't know this was coming? Do we really think he didn't know there was going to be cheating? Come on in, Rog.
My question is this, because I've heard the watermark thing. Who sends the ballots out? See, is there a central location that sends out the ballots? And are we talking about the ballots in the machine or the mail-in ballots that were sent out? So that's kind of, I haven't heard that, any answers to that type of question. The mail-in ballots, are those the ones? Of course, those are the ones that are challenged mostly. Yes. They're encrypted.
Yes.
And does the federal government provide those to the states? That's what I've got a question on.
Well, hey, that's Roger, that's what's all
2 years ago it happened. 2 years ago, Trump set all this up. It's all working out now.
That's
yes, Roger. Yes is the answer. When I was in the military overseas, we had to do absentee. It was a big process back then. And if you look at the veteran vote, it's pretty big for the people deployed. So they had to keep track of it all, and it all started then. But then others became part of this whole mail-in process over the years. It never was intended to be this way, Roger. But yes, federally controlled.
So, folks, go ahead.
So when 100,000 votes come in mail that just have Joe Biden's name on it and no downvoting, those 100,000 ballots were supplied by a central source that now can monitor that.
Well, Roger, they're going to take every ballot and they're going to take it under one of those ultraviolet lights or whatever, and they're going to look for the mark. No mark, mm-hmm. No good. No mark, no good.
Got it.
No mark, no good.
So- All right, divide that, Roger. Divide your thought into two groups of ballots. You got the ones that were asked for and the ones that were not asked for, unsolicited. So the unsolicited ones are the ones that are subject to all this. The ones that people ask for, they're going to know they're getting it. The government knows they sent it, so there's traceability. They had to do the watermark for the unsolicited ones.
There you go.
I think you're right, Coach.
Yep.
Hey guys, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but I just want to state the obvious. We sat back and we did nothing because we trusted QAnon. And last November, a year ago, all this stuff was guaranteed going to happen. It didn't happen. We trusted Durham doing his investigation up in New York. All these indictments are going to come down. Not one indictment came down. I'm glad we're going somewhere and doing something, because we can't trust that what we're hearing is actually truth and taking place. I mean,
Larry, I didn't say that, did I? In fact, I started out by saying we're going places. Did I?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And thank God we're going places, because in the past, you know, sitting down doing nothing has gotten us nowhere.
Right. I've never ever said anything about sitting down doing nothing. We're gonna move forward. I'm trying to give you an overall picture of what I've been studying over the last however many hours, so I can bring some form of intelligence to you rather than what you're hearing on TV.
Yeah. Well, right? I'm not talking about you and your effort in this effort, Coach. I'm talking about the Satanic Social Club, especially.
Who cares about? I got you. Who cares about? So, folks, listen, the encryption's real. Now, will they use the encryption? You know something else I saw? Couldn't believe it. Say, I don't want to believe that. Did you guys know that it appears that part of Trump's plan, or whoever's plan, was to use the National Guard to enforce capturing a hold of the polls, right? Afterwards, right? I said, well, that you're telling me they were deployed. Hey, Mark, click on National Guard. I just Googled it this morning. Has the National Guard been deployed? Have they been? Well, here's where the National Guard is activated on Election Day. When was this? This is 11-1. Did you know that Trump deployed the National Guard? Anybody know that? And see, where did he deploy them? Well, scroll down, Mike. It'll tell us where they were deployed. Alabama and Arizona. Wow. Keep going. Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, Wyoming. Why? Well, because of violence, right? That's what they tell us. They're deployed for violence. I think there's something else going on. Yes, come on. I'm going to switch here.
You notice all the states that are having the problems.
That's my point. They knew where the problems were going to be. Okay, let me shift gears here. I just want to give you a little bit of encouragement. We are going to win. We're going to win. Do you guys believe the prophets? Do you believe the Mark Taylors? Do you believe the Coverstone? Do you believe those guys? Do you believe the Mario Morellas? Do you believe all these guys who got the word that Trump's going to be a two-term? Do you believe it or not? Because see, here's where your faith comes in. We're going to know real quickly, aren't we? We're going to know real quickly who's a prophet and who's not a prophet. We're going to find that stuff out. And I believe that nothing hidden and will not be revealed. This stealing is so obvious.
Coach, I got something for you.
Go, Joe.
When A.G. Barr said they armed the agents, all agents are armed. What they were armed with is they got geared up with their all their armor. So they're not going in there with a pistol on their side. They're going in full blast.
Yeah, because we know right now, right, that like in Pennsylvania, some of these places, the Republicans can't even get in to watch the ballots be counted. They can't even get in to watch them, right? We saw that the courts have issued orders that the Republicans get to go in and watch, and they're not enforcing it. The sheriffs aren't enforcing it. We are in literally, our nation is already in some form of civil war. We already are, friends. We're already there. And so it's going to be interesting to see the evidence that's going to come forth, that's going to be coming forth. Okay, now listen, I want to go here because Larry was talking about the fact we got to do something, and I couldn't agree more. Now is a critical time. And are you guys watching and seeing that the Trump voters are coming out? They had rallies in Tucson last night. They're having rallies all across America. People are standing up and saying, you're not going to pull this crap on us. You're not going to pull this crap on us. So we have to continue to do that. But something that is just as important, I came across, thanks to Bradley Dean, posted on his website today, an article that John Diamond had written. John Diamond might go down to where it says imprecatory psalms. Now, hey, John, I don't know whether you want us to read this or whether you would just like to talk about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to keep your money from being stolen, to protect your children. No, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. For what, John? For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Where is that? Is that Ephesians? Does anybody know where that is?
I think it's in Corinthians 10, 4 and 5.
Pull that up there. I think it's important enough, Mike, that we all look at this. 2 Corinthians. Now,
10, 4 and 5.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, John.
Well, Coach, just before you jump in there, spiritually speaking, because this is where it needs to go back to, because that question you opened with, they don't look what they've done. Remember what I said yesterday, the devil is full of rage and wrath. And when we act in rage and wrath, we do things we regret. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, had he known what he had done, he would have never crucified the Son of Glory. Brother, they overplayed their hands because of what? Their rage and their anger.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Dale.
And to say that we're doing nothing, watch this. You ready for this? The Lord just showed me this. What did Jesus do when Satan's rage and wrath was demanding of his life? Did Jesus call all the angels from heaven? What did he do when he was on the cross? He allowed that to happen, to play out what was to come.
Amen. It's all part of the plan. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, folks, stop right there a second. What could that possibly mean? Stronghold, pulling down of strongholds. What could that possibly mean?
I'll tell you what that means, Coach. They've set up this voting establishment for decades, and now it's being pulled asunder.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, Randy, we've been going to some of these high places, haven't we? Hillary's was a high place. Don't think it wasn't. Obama's was a high place. Don't think it wasn't. Biden's was a high place. Don't think it wasn't.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
God did not make it. God made it very clear to Jeremiah of how easy it was to do what he had to do. Root out, tear down, destroy. Does that sound easy? Then rebuild, then rebuild, right? So that is what's going on. Rooting out. I mean, what does that mean?
Rooting out, hard work. It doesn't even sound Christian, does it? It doesn't even sound Christian.
No, and Judy and I was talking about this last night. That's what these roots are, deep. And they are people. The people are the little tendrils in our bureaucracy.
Yes.
And they will come back. Roots will grow back.
That's why. That's why this election fiasco had to happen. So when you go to the roots, we got to go to the roots. Go ahead, Randy. You raised your hand. I'm sorry, Randy. You're still silent. There you go.
I know you're reading this. I don't want to mess it up. Are you going to keep reading down?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm
going to wait. Because again, folks, this is something we read and we don't think about what it's saying. Casting down in, wait a minute, pulling for the weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to what? Mark, there you are. That's an action. Pulling down. Strongholds. Wait a minute. Why do you have to pull them down? Because they're high. They're high. We got to pull them down. The forces of darkness are high, exalted high. We got to go pull them down. Pull down those strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. What are high things? What are they? Philosophies, rudiments of this world, right? Come on, folks. This is all through the scriptures. Not after man, but after God. Hang on, John. I'm going to get to you. Casting down high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Revenge it. We're supposed to revenge them. You see this? Come on, man. This ain't patty cake. This ain't beanbag. This is hard stuff. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Casting down these things that are somehow supernaturally in control of what's going on. So when we went to build, laugh if you want to. When we went to Washington, D.C., we pulled down a high place at Biden's. We pulled down a high place at Obama's. And we went to Bill Barr and we brought an electricity and opened a portal to Bill Barr. We have no idea what happened to Bill Barr. We have no idea the tunnel, whatever, the portal that was opened over Bill Barr. We have no idea. Yeah, Mark.
What if Noah had given up on the ark because mm-hmm. it didn't rain?
Mm-hmm. And everybody laughing at him, right?
This is our ark. Do we give up?
No. Now's when our faith comes full. Well, now's when it becomes effectual. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now it becomes effectual. Get ready, John. I'm going to come to you in a second. Yeah, Randy.
Coach, we see a model in Jericho when they walked around. They didn't sit on the other side of the river and just pray, oh, Lord, tear down those walls, Jericho. No, God said, go over there, put your feet on the ground, and walk around this place. Just be obedient. Listen to me. He said, be obedient and I will tear them down. Coach, verse 6 there, it says God will do this when our obedience is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. We obeyed God, Coach. We went and did what he asked
Amen.
Us. And we obeyed him and he did it.
Amen.
He fulfilled it, Coach. We see this just as clear as a bell.
I do. Because we don't see in Christianity, hey, Mark, in Christianity, we read these verses, but we don't meditate on them, do we? Look at those words.
That's a whole new way of reading the Bible, Coach. That's what we got to teach people.
Casting down.
Amen.
Bringing into captivity. That doesn't sound very Christian. Go back up a little bit, Mike. Huh? Though we go to 3.
Real Christianity.
Hang on, Mike. Go there. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war.
Amen. Amen.
It's right there for us to see, man.
Boom.
We don't war, but we're sure warring after something, aren't we? Well, we're warring after our weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but they're mighty through God. How are we warring? We're pulling down. We're casting down imaginations. We're pulling down strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the left is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. We're to pull it down.
Amen.
Bring it into captivity. What? To the obedience of Christ. That's the kingdom. Oh, man. So, John, anybody feeling this but me? We're going to win.
We're going to win.
We're going to win, man. So, John, I took off a bit, danced all around your article there. Mike, maybe you can throw it up there for him. But, John, I don't know whether you want to read it or whether you just want to. John wrote a commentary today. Want to save America? Learn to pray imprecatory prayers. It has a video with it, but we got the guy live and in color here. Come on in, John.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I mean, everything you guys are saying and doing is just absolutely spot on. I mean, even that scripture you just talked about, because the Christian church, their thoughts, their mindsets are just so unbiblical. It's not funny. They're so elementary. I mean, what I taught on imprecatory prayer in my classroom, and at the beginning, everybody kind of looked at me like, That is so unchristian. Now, we can just read Psalm 69. If you look on the screen there in the second paragraph, there's like 25 imprecatory psalms. And I told my class, I said, how many times have you ever prayed that the Lord break the jaw of the wicked or bust them in the mouth or break their arm? I mean, they looked at me like that is the most unchristian thing you can possibly say it. And I gave them this list and I said, there's like 25 imprecatory psalms. I said, I'll just read one of them to you and ask you, you know, have you ever prayed anything like this? So if we look at the top one there, Psalm 69, this is David praying against his enemies. He said, pour out your wrath upon them and let your burning anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents, for they persecute the one you struck and recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity. Let them not share in your righteousness. Now look, may they be blotted out of the book of life and not listed with the righteous.
Wow.
How many times have you ever heard a Christian pray something like that against the wicked people in this land?
John, let me stop you a second. Mike, go to Webster's real quick. I got to show you this. This is a revelation to me just right now. Evidence. I love proof and evidence, okay? Webster's 1828. Imprecatory. Mike, what's imprecatory? Containing a prayer for evil to befall a person. What? Doesn't sound very Christian. Containing a prayer. Wait a minute. Is the devil praying? Are evil people praying? Is the Bible telling only evil people to pray? No. They're talking to Christians. And what are they saying? Hey, Christians, pray for evil to befall some people. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, and with the scripture that you just looked at there, talk about, you know, our warfare right there in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians, and it talks about our warfare is against these spiritual forces, and that's absolutely right. But there are people on this earth who have submitted themselves to these evil forces, and they're being controlled by those evil forces. So it's not like we don't have enemies. Jesus said, "Pray for your enemies." You know. He said we would have enemies on this earth. So, you know, why is it? Here's where you got to get to almost the root of it to change your mindset. Because remember, we have strongholds in our minds. And that's what this says. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations means reasoning. Anything that we think in our mind. So if we think something in our mind that exalts itself against God's word, then that thought needs to be caught. Tossed down. It needs to be poured out.
Hang on, John, Mike, what's it mean to cast? What does that mean? Cast. What did Webster say? Don't mean to interrupt you, John, but listen, let's get everybody on the same page here. Okay. This is right out of the Bible, by the way. What's it mean to cast? Cast. To throw, fling, or send. That is to drive from by force, as from the hand or from an engine. Hagar cast the child into Israel. To sow, to scatter seed, to drive or impel by violence, to shed or throw off, to throw or let fall, to throw as dice or lots, to cast lots, to throw away as worthless, to emit or throw out, to throw. Folks, this is the Bible. This is Christianity. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, I went into the Greek, and I actually cover this in my Unifying the Body of Christ book. I got an entire chapter just on this scripture verse right here. But when it says talking about demolishing strongholds, that's what they did with Jericho. They demolished the stronghold. Well, we have strongholds in our mind that doesn't allow God's word and God's truth to come in. So we read an imprecatory prayer. And it's because our mind is not right, because we don't have a divine perspective on things. We look at an imprecatory prayer and they're like, well, I would never pray that. Well, why are there like 25 of them? Why did Jesus teach to pray imprecatory prayer if you're not going to apply them? Do you think that could be the problem? So who's wrong here? Is it Christ that's wrong that told us to pray imprecatory prayer, or is it your pacifist, you know, kind of hide in my church Christianity that's caused you to do that? And that's
Stephanie, our former Wiccan, Think about this. What do witches do? Why, they cast spells, don't they? So they're casting. They understand it. We don't get it. Go ahead, John. Thanks, Steph.
So in the article, and you guys can go to the article. I don't want to just rehash something that you guys can read. But the basic premise is this. There are two types of people on this planet. One of the biggest strongholds that the Christian church holds is that we are all God's children. The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that anywhere. Matter of fact, it teaches just the opposite from Genesis to Revelation. So when you go into Genesis, and again, you can read the article, but that God told them in the Garden of Eden that his seed will crush your seed. In other words, Satan has a seed. In other words, he has a genealogy. He has people on this earth that are Luciferian, that are satanic, that are controlled by the devil, and they have no desire to be controlled by God or by Christ. Now, I walked in that camp for a bit, but I did it out of deception. And once I heard the gospel, I came into the right camp. There are people that absolutely just reject Christianity, reject God, reject truth. And that's the major difference right there. So you can follow this genealogy straight through the Bible, because one of the key things about this genealogy is the wicked always attempt to kill the righteous. So the very first seed of Satan that we had was Cain. And it even says in 1 John, it says Cain killed Abel because his deeds were righteous. When you stand up and wear a shirt like Coach does, it says homosexuality is sin, you know, this whole list. Those who are in that other camp hate you. Truth sounds like hate. They hate your righteousness. They hate your righteous deeds. They will get angry and they will try to kill you. And that's exactly what Cain did to Abel. And it says in 1 John that he was of his father, the devil. He was the first seed of Satan. You can follow that down through the whole entire Old Testament. Every person that God sent to proclaim righteousness and denounce wickedness was killed by the children of the devil. So when Jesus came along, he's like, which of the fathers which of the prophets didn't your fathers kill? So he's tracing that genealogical line, those two lines, the children of God and the children of the devil. That's what the Bible says in 1 John, that there are two genealogical lines going from Genesis to Revelation, the children of God and the children of the devil. The children of the devil always want to kill children of God simply because they want to be righteous. They want to preach righteousness. They want to preach against sin. That will always incur the wrath. So then by the time you get to Stephen, when he's stoned in Acts chapter 7, he runs down this entire history from Genesis all the time that he got stoned. And he said the same thing. Which of the prophets didn't your fathers kill? Now you killed the one who they sent. And then they turned around and picked up stones and killed Stephen. So this battle that we're involved in as we approach, you know, Revelation and the end times, we now have to first, you have to have that as your foundation. You have to understand that there are two camps, the children of God and the children of the devil. Sit down and read 1 John today. I mean, it's a very, very good study when you start off with that perspective. Read the fall, read what he says in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, and then jump over to 1 John and read the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil, the children of light and the children of darkness. One of the things we have to understand, and I'm dealing with this in my Revelation course, in the end times, there will be a separation. When Christ returns, you only ever see two groups, the wheat and the tare, the sheep and the goat, the righteous and the righteous, the children of God and the children of the devil. What we are seeing in America and really in the world today is the polarization of those two groups. Those two groups are becoming so polarized that it's not funny. There is not going to be anybody on the fence. Everybody is going to be forced into a camp to choose which side.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that.
Amen, John.
Unveiling and a revealing that's going on. I'm with you. Go, Larry.
Yeah, you know this imprecatory prayer thing and everything is very, you know, it's deep. Okay, it's deeper than Christians have any experience of even going in any subject in Christianity, for the most part. But there's such a little simple underlying thing. That and you mentioned it, you know, everybody is a child of God is not true. And all these preachers, so-called preachers, all these people praying for everybody in the world to get saved. They want to make a liar out of Jesus every time you pray that prayer. Because Jesus said most of the people going to hell. And people saying everybody in the world is going to get saved because there's going to be a great revival. And I'm praying for it. I'm praying for everybody to get saved. Guess what? You're praying to make Jesus a liar.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The message, that coexist message, we've seen it for years and years. And the church is living in that. And they don't understand. They're saying coexist. And God is saying no. No. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Sir. And this is what John's saying. You can't talk one thing and live another thing. You have to. He's calling the church now, the real people, the real true church. Please stand up, Coach. That's the Biden message. Hey, we can get along. I'm going to be a president for all people. We can coexist. All that's a bunch of bull. It's not. That's over. That day is got to be over.
Men cry peace, peace when there is no peace. And the sooner we come to the realization that we are in not only a spiritual war, but a what's going to rapidly become a physical one. Remember, it starts in the spirit before it ever shows up in the natural. We are beginning to see right now exactly what's going on and what this is going to look like. Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Coach, when we was in D.C. and Steve was driving us around, and I was doing the video about the swamp, about the boards on the windows, and I was messing with those workers that were doing that. The Lord dropped in my spirit to study and preach on the snare. And you know, when you look up snare in the Bible, there's one time in particular where God himself set the snare, and that was for Pharaoh. And I'm telling you right now, God has set the snare.
I believe it,
man.
I believe
it. He set the snare for the swamp. And us going to Bill Barr's house, Coach, is bigger than what we may ever know, man. It's bigger than what we may ever know, man.
Not because of us, folks, but because we opened a power source to him that was not available to him before. You understand? It isn't anything about us, nothing special about us. We went and opened a window that had not been opened over him. That's exactly what you prayed over him, wasn't it, Randy? It's exactly what you prayed. And as Craig said, because why? We were obedient. When our obedience is fulfilled, right? When we do what he tells us to do, then he moves.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, read what I texted you, I think a few guys yesterday, about God. This is what the anointing for us. I see it, and you see it, everyone. He is calling us, even if it's a small group, he's taking us right into that high place, and he's saying, okay, just pray. Start speaking what I've got given you. I'm going to tear it down. This is what we're doing, Coach, everywhere we go.
So here's what Randy texted me yesterday. Make sure I'm reading the right thing here, Randy. It says, this is guerrilla spiritual warfare, tearing down the high places, SEAL teams going in to identify and expose enemy strongholds, scrambling communication and disrupting the central intelligence. On their side, folks. Causing confusion and disconnect. God is currently using this tactic. We have the anointing that proves it. We are opening and closing portals every stop we make. Wow.
Yeah, Coach, can I jump in here?
Sure.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, Biden was the one that said, I want to take Trump out behind the gym. Just a week or two ago, he was calling the people at PA chumps outside there. It's all the left has been doing is aggressive behavior and aggressive verbal attacks. So what this tells me with Biden come out saying he's trying to soften it, now he wants to be a president for all people. It's like it's not like nothing. They've been hit like right now, yesterday or the day within hours they've been hit. And now they don't really – we took some fight out of them. That's the way it is. With the cowards or people that's never been really in a fight. It's one thing to have your way for X amount of time and hit somebody, but when you get hit back, that's a completely different world. Oh, now we can be friends.
Hey, listen, I just heard from the Holy Spirit. John, I know you're not done. It's okay, but I just heard from the I feel like, does that sound like Oral Roberts or somebody like that? I just heard a voice, okay? I don't know. I think it was the Holy Spirit. I know his voice. Okay, listen, here's what we need to do. Rather than talking about war, we need to go to war. rather than talking about war, we need to go to war. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit just said to me. John, you have up on, I'm trying to get to your article here. You have up on your article, you have listed how many imprecatory psalms. Slide that down there, Mike. There they are, folks. Okay, now listen. We're gonna put this into action. First of all, I saw Stephanie texted me again, and it's starting to make sense. You have to target your prayer. If you were going to go out and you were going to shoot a deer, would you just start shooting everywhere? Would you get your scope out and do it? You guys know what I'm talking about?
No, Coach. You strategically position yourself in a high place. Uh-huh. That's where people shoot deer.
Okay, but you get what I'm saying, right? You just don't go start walking through the woods just shooting a gun everywhere, because in fact the deer will scatter if you do that. You strategically place yourself and you target a deer, right? So here's what the Lord has just put on my heart. I'm going to give you, some of you, a chance to get involved right now. Okay, here's what it is. Michelle, you listening up there? My wife, Michelle, stamp on the floor if she hears. There's a little bit of delay. I know she's listening. Okay, listen. I'm going to, right now, we are going to assign psalms that you guys are going to read out daily. Some of you, this will be part of your daily devotional. You will read this out at different times throughout the day, and you're going to target it specifically at those, the kings of this earth who are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. And we are going to target these prayers. Okay, Michelle, you're up there. Who in here right now, one at a time, is going to say, Coach, I got Psalm 3. I got that one covered, Coach. Somebody say it. Write it down. Who is
me?
Who is that?
Me, Pastor Dale.
Dale's got Psalm 3. Who has Psalm 5?
Psalm 5.
Who?
Jeff
Nell, Psalm 5. Who has Psalm 6?
I'll take it.
Who's that?
Glenn
Clemart, Psalm 6. Who has Psalm 10?
Larry.
Rick Simpson.
Rick Simpson's got Psalm 10. Who has Psalm 11?
I take it.
Who is that? Myra's got Psalm 11. Somebody will be writing these down. Who's got Psalm 12?
Tim.
Who does? Tim. Good, Tim. Who's got Psalm 35?
Mike Blake.
Mike Blake, Psalm 30. Mike, that's my favorite one, Mike. That's my favorite one. I wish I had that one. Who's got Psalm 37?
I'll take it, Coach.
Who is that? Stephanie. Stephanie's got Psalm 37. Who's got Psalm? Who's got Psalm 40?
Dusty.
No.
Dusty's got it. Dusty's got Psalm 40. 52. Mel, you got Psalm 52, Mel.
Okay.
Who's got Psalm 54?
I got it.
Penny's got Psalm 54. Who's got Psalm 56?
I'll take Psalm 56, Coach.
Vinny's got Psalm 56. Who has the 57th Psalm?
Jeff Klein.
Jeff Klein, Psalm 57. Who has Psalm 58?
Larry.
Larry's got Psalm 58. Who has 59?
Chad.
Chad has Psalm 59. Who has 69?
Give that to Clay.
Clay has Psalm 69. Psalm 79. Craig, I'm giving you Psalm 79. Craig, you've got Psalm 79. Who has Psalm 83?
I do. I have Psalm 83.
Who is that?
Amos.
Amos has got Psalm 83. Who has Psalm 94?
I'll do it, Coach.
Who's that?
Brian.
Brian's got it. That was Psalm 109. Who has 109?
Linda Studer.
Linda Studer's got 109. Steve Deck, you got Psalm 137.
Got it.
137 is you. 139. Who has Psalm 139?
I'll take 139.
Joanna has Psalm 139. And who has Psalm 143?
I do, Coach.
Joe's got it. Now, folks, listen. Anybody else can pray those, but we need it. We need those of you who've been specifically assigned that psalm to pray that repeatedly. When the Lord brings it to your remembrance, pray that. And, folks, listen. Continue to direct it. directed at specific targets as you pray that one. This time I'm praying against the spirit of death. This time I'm praying against that lying spirit. This time, whatever, specific targets, specific people. Cool. I heard the Lord on that one. Somebody's in some serious trouble. Somebody said I skipped one. Did I skip one?
I think you did. I think you skipped 79.
79? Did anybody take 79? Hang on a second. Did somebody already take 79?
You gave it to Craig.
I gave it to Craig. Thank you. Hey, listen. Anybody else, pick them up. We got them all covered. Did anybody get a list of those? Did anybody write all those down? Probably not. That's all right.
I wrote them down.
Okay, thank you, man. Hey, listen.
But we only have 23, Coach. There should be 20. How many prayers were there?
1, 2, 3.
I think there was 23.
Okay, we got 23 covered.
I think that's right.
Yeah, it's 23. Now, listen, Stephanie just said this. Listen, come on now. Boy, this is good. This is the most effective huddle we've ever had. Stephanie said, oh, yeah. She says, when you pray it, imagine it just like an arrow. As you're praying it, see that arrow go. Make the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See the target just like you're deer hunting. Pull that bow back and let that thing go at a specific target. Thank you, Steph.
Coach, It's not just releasing. It's not just shooting. You put it in the crosshairs in your scope.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my bullet's going. The crosshairs of my scope.
Crosshairs of my scope. Now listen, the rest of us, read and precate. I want the rest of you to read out loud 5 imprecatory psalms per day. Pick any 5. Wait a minute, I heard you, Lord. Any 3. Pick any 3. All right? Pick any, if you didn't get assigned one, pick any 3 and read them out loud every day for as long as we're doing this. Those of you guys who we've given you a psalm, that's your psalm. Not just for today. It's your psalm for tomorrow. It's for you. It's all week, and it's your duty to do that. All right? Cool. Oh, man. John, I've taken a bunch of your time. I know you didn't even get nearly where you wanted to. Come on in.
No, I got exactly where I wanted to. This is awesome. Let me, in the 8 minutes we got, let me kind of just give some instructions here. First off, all of this, I don't have Psalms 2 on here, but Psalms 2 is the foundation of my Appeal to Heaven book. I have an entire chapter on imprecatory prayer in the Appeal to Heaven book. I'm going to turn that into a PDF, and I'm going to send it to Coach, and anybody who wants that chapter can have that chapter, because you have to understand. Again, the Bible talks about line upon line, precept upon precept, and that's what the Psalms does. Psalms 2 is the key fundamental verse of all of this. Can you pull that up, Mike? Psalms 2?
Sure, I can.
And while he's pulling that up, here's what you guys do when you read the Psalm you've been assigned. In every one of those cases, David is talking about what the evil people are doing. They're lying in wait for blood. They're doing this. He brings a particular charge against them that they are doing against innocent people, and then he gives the imprecatory prayer. So again, this is a court case. He's bringing specific crimes to the Lord's attention, and he's asking them to avenge them.
Wow.
Now, Psalms 2 is the general thing, because it has to do really with governments when it talks about the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his almighty, saying, let us cast their cords away. In other words, let us create separation of church and state. Let us cast off God's law, right? That way, when we cast off God's law, we can do whatever we want to whoever we want, and there are no moral boundaries anymore.
Amen.
So. Amen. Can you go over to my Appealing to Heaven site real quick? And I'm going to create that PDF and get that to Coach, and he can get that to everybody who signed up or anybody that wants a copy of just that chapter. Scroll down. Now, I ask people all the time when I talk about imprecatory prayer, and they're like, well, that's not very Christian, you know. And I'm like, why do we have abortion? And they said Roe v. Wade. And I said, why didn't we appeal that? And they're like, appeal it to who? Appeal it to the Supreme Court of Heaven. Scroll down there. Psalms 2 is basically an imprecatory prayer. Keep going down, all the way down to where it says the judgments against. Right there. Go up. There's a prayer card. You can download that prayer card. Scroll up a little bit. And I want to show you the list of things that the Lord laid on my heart to pray about. We need to go the steps of the Supreme Court, because they're the ones that have mostly done this. That's a high place. We need to go there, as many people as we can, and we need to start praying in imprecatory prayers. But I want you to read this list the Lord gave me of the things that we're supposed to be praying against. So just like the psalmist said, hey, these guys are doing this, 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 and then he prayed an imprecatory prayer, we're praying imprecatory prayers against these things. Now let's look at the list real quick. A judgment against the Supreme Court with regard to forced secularization of America. They had no right to kick God and prayer out. We needed to appeal to heaven when that happened in the 60s. They didn't do it. We're the generation that needs to do it. A judgment against those who are turning America into a socialist nation. You're seeing that happening today. A judgment against the Supreme Court for allowing the genocide of the unborn. There. Appealing Roe v. Wade above. It has to be tore down there first before the lower courts can handle it. A judgment against the lies of the corporate media. You see that all the time. A judgment against those in local and federal government who seek to suppress your God-given rights. Judgment against those in America who seek to use the legal system to persecute Christians. You're really starting to see that ramp up, especially out in California right now, where they're shutting churches down and telling them they can't pray and meet and sing. A judgment against the evils of Hollywood. That place is about as evil and communist as you can get. Judgment against the pornography industry, which really led to human and sex trafficking. Judgment against the godless education system, a judgment against human and sex trafficking, a judgment against government corruption, a restoration of traditional marriage. And the last one is, once we tear all those down, here's what we'll have: a complete restoration of our constitutional republic. So we need to pray those imprecatory prayers. We need to go to the high places. We all need to stand up and just read a psalm. Right there, the power of God and his word is like a sword. It will destroy the enemy. The enemy cannot stand against the word of God, but we're not praying the word of God because it doesn't make sense to us. It's unchristian. We put these things into place, and we're going to tear the enemy down. Like Coach said, we are going to win.
Folks, listen, John, this has been so good. I want you guys to think about it. See, I think there's a couple things that are if Donald Trump is part of the deep state, why the hell are they doing this? Can somebody explain that to me? If he's part of the deep state. And by the way, has anybody seen the big Republican rally? All those elected officials in Washington, has anybody seen the big rally that they have in support of President Trump? No. Hey, listen, we are his team. We are his team. No, I'm not talking about what type of Christian he is, or whether he's whatever. I'm not even talking about that. We're his team, folks. We're it. We're connected to the King of Kings. We have the ability to pull some of these works of darkness from those on our team. We have treason in our own team, right? Republicans are treasonous. Wouldn't you think all of the elected officials would be out in front of the Capitol saying, we stand behind President Trump. We're not going to let him steal it. We're not going to let... No,
because,
Nowhere to be seen.
Coach, yeah. All these senators that secured their place in the Republican Party, like Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, they gave their speech thanking everyone.
Yep.
What in the world are they doing right now?
That's what I said.
How come their face isn't out there everywhere? They were secured for what, 6 more years?
Mark, not only that, folks, Donald Trump had coattails. If you go in and you look at the numbers of people, you know they've taken at least 10 seats back in the House. Did you guys know that? Did you know that they were
yep.
He has coattails. If he had such strong coattails, how's he losing?
Amen. They're against him, Coach. Kings yes, of the sir. Earth and all of his underlings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Coach, and they're just like the church. The majority of church is scared stiff, fear, full of fear. My phone ain't stopped ringing for 3 days, Coach. Uh-huh. It's amazing, man. It's amazing.
Well, I ain't afraid. And I'm up in the ante. Some of you get your schedules ready. The 21st and 22nd of November, we're going to go take on another high place. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Hey, folks, listen. They scored a touchdown. And then they got a turnover and they scored another touchdown. Now, we can go back and suck on our thumb, or we can get unified and try to start driving the ball down the field again, or give them a good old play-action pass or throw a pass over the top of them and get those 14 points right back. Did we actually believe that the devil wasn't going to fight? Did we really think that they were going to give it over easy? No, no, no. No, but the weapons are warfare, not carnal, but mighty.
Dave.
Pulling down strong. Yes.
Dave, Coach, you think we could go to Georgia earlier?
Do we need to go? We need to go to Georgia as soon as we can.
You think we should go earlier? I mean, my God, from what I'm seeing, they've already got Biden ahead in Georgia now, ahead of Trump right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes. I mean, but how? When? Like I said, I can go now. I can go get in the car and go right now. Well, we'll talk about this when we're off here. We'll talk about that when we're off here. Hey, it's that time. Hey, now's not the time to faint, man. No, now's the time to up the ante. Let's get all in. Pray those psalms faithfully. Coach. Do it. We're counting on you. Coach. God bless you. Yeah, yeah. Quickly.
Pastor Langford had a good thing that when Jesus didn't show up for Lazarus' death, you know, they all, you know, he wouldn't have died if he was there. But yet Jesus replied that it was better that I wasn't there. That victory didn't show them because he had to show them his power of what who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So if
Lazarus hadn't died, there wouldn't have been any resurrection of Lazarus, would it? If he'd have been able to prevent him from dying, there would have been no need for that miracle to take place. Right. Same thing. We're sitting on top of a miracle, man. Unbelievable. What a time. God bless you. We'll see you. Golly, tomorrow's Saturday already. See you on Monday.